Great. Thank you, Rabbi Schechter. It's always a pleasure to be here and to see many familiar faces. And we're really in the middle of the 9 days. And tomorrow night we read Eicha, which means we are really in the midst of a type of national avilut. This year I'm actually in a personal avilut. My mother passed away, Dr. Yaffa Eliach passed away this year. And it was quite a few months ago. Actually, my brother Yotav, who was volunteering in Israel, just was at the Kever and sent me pictures. I was able to be in Israel for a bris, in addition to the Hakamada Matseva, which we did a few months after. Afterwards, I was also able to be in Israel for a bris of a grandson. So that was very exciting. And also to visit the Matseva. And each time, right, in addition to just the Avelut of the year, it brings back a certain kind of resonance. So in a personal Avelut, we have certain kind of markers, right? We have the day of the Kvura, we have the Shiva, we have the Shloshim, and we have the Shanav Avelut. When we talk about Tisha B'Av, we have the 3 weeks, right? We have the Avelut of the 3 weeks, and then we have the Avelut of the 9 days, and then even a more intense Avelut of the Shavua Shechalbo. And there are comparisons and there are differences between a personal Avelut and a national Avelut. The Gemara in Yevamos Mem Gimel Amud Bet, right, speaks about the Shavua Shechalbo, right, the week that Tisha B'Av is happening, is similar to the Shiva Yemei Avelut, is similar to the days that you're sitting Shiva. But it says there are also differences. We have Avelus Chadasha, right, or Avelut Chadasha, or Avelus Chadasha, right, which is personal Avelut of someone who just died. And then we have Avelut Yeshana. We have an old Avelut, which is really the Avelut of Tisha B'Av, because it happened so many years ago, thousands of years ago, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. A personal Avelut is called Avelut Yachid, a personal Avelut, versus a national Avelut. So for us, how do we combine the two? How do we make Tisha B'Av as meaningful to us as a personal Avelut? Because that's how we have to think about Yerushalayim. Because if we are an Avelut for Yerushalayim, then we are also going to merit the Geula. That's the idea. If you are part of this Avelut, care about Yerushalayim, then you're also part of the Geula that's going to happen for Am Yisrael, which means you care, you're part of it, you identify with it. Now, for our shiur tonight, what I wanted to do is to really discuss the Haftarah of the Nechama and to see how is that really a response to Tisha B'Av, to the Churban, to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, to our estrangement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the Haftarot, we have two different models for Avelut and for Nechama. On the one hand, we have for every Shabbos of the 3 weeks, we have a special Haftorah. And those are called the Gimel Puranuta. This past Shabbos, we just read Haftarat Chazon, right? The first parak of Yeshayahu. So he is telling Bnei Israel to do tshuva for the Averot, right? That because of them, there might come Churban. And that is what we just read. Then we're going to read Eicha, which we're going to read tomorrow night, about the Churban. Yirmiyahu is telling us about the Churban and the abandonment of Yerushalayim. And then we start Nechama. We start the Haftarot of Nechama, of consolation, and we're going to start them this Shabbat, actually, the Haftarot of Nechama. We start in Perek Mem in Yeshayahu. So how do they work together? How does, right, the Nechama work as a response to Eicha? Is it a response to Eicha? And can we learn lessons about Avelut in general, or about tragedy in general, right, that help us understand, is Nechama, right, the answer to Avelut, or what is really Nechama? So what I'd like to start is with the first perek of the Nevuot Nechama, and that is Yeshayahu Perek Mem. So we're on source number one, and this is the Haftarah that we are going to read this Shabbat. It's the response to Eicha, always, every single year. Chachamim felt that this is the perek that starts the whole series of seven of the Haftarot Nechama. It's Perek Mem in Yeshayahu, and this is the beginning of the second part of Yeshayahu, where he starts to speak about Nechama. And he starts, Nachamu, nachamu, ami, yomar elokechem. Right away, Perek Mem starts. After it talks about a lot of tochacha and talks about the history of Chizkiyahu, we come to Perek Mem. And Yeshayahu was saying, nachamu, nachamu, ami. Give nechama to my nation, yomar elokechem, Hashem says. Now, what's interesting is that already in this pasuk, we have a few questions, even though it's so short. First of all, why does it say nechamu, nechamu twice? Just say nechamu ami, give nechama. Why do we have to have it in double language? Also, it's so beautiful that the Navi is calling Bnei Israel ami. And we're going to emphasize that that's very important in nechama, which means we're going to see that the feelings of abandonment in Echa were such that they felt that Hashem left them completely, and they're not the chosen people anymore. So the fact that Nechama starts double language and is talking about Bnei Israel as Ami, my nation, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is very important. Also, it's Yomar Elokechan. What do we usually think about Eloka or the name Elokut? Din. So here it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the guise of Din, giving us Nechama, which means it's not just, oh, out of Rachamim. Right? This is that Yudke Vavke. It's out of Din Hashem is giving us Rachamim. He's giving us Nechama and a double Nechama. Let's look at Pasuk Bet. Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. You have to speak on the heart of Yerushalayim, which means you're not just speaking to them intellectually. You're speaking to their heart. V'kir'u Eileha. You have to cry out to her, to Yerushalayim. Ki Mal'ah Tzva'a. Right? Its host is full. Its time is full, which means the bucket of all the punishments that I put in is full. Ki nirtza avona, right? Its sin has been forgiven or paid back for, which means this concept that we have a barrel, right? And when the barrel fills up, right, we paid back, or Hashem has punished us enough, and then we come to the top, and now is the time for nechama. So maybe we can understand that, right? We got enough punishment, so that's why we're going to get nechama. But look at the end of the pasuk. Ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoteha. Hashem, in the guise of Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Rachamim, right, gave us double punishment. Ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoteha. How could Hashem have punished us doubly? Which means, what do we always say about Hashem? Hashem is the God of Mishpat. So it always should be midah keneged midah. It shouldn't be that Hashem punished us doubly. What does that mean, that Hashem punished us doubly, kiflayim? And that's now what we're going to try to understand, this philosophical question, or this issue. What does it mean that Hashem could punish us in a way that we don't deserve, maybe? Is that what the Navi is saying, and that's why you're getting so much nechama? How is this a nechama when the Navi is saying this? What is this trying to tell us philosophically about the Chorban and about nechama, about Galut and about Geula? Also, it's important for us to understand, this is the Haftarah we read every year, for so many years already, that tells us how to understand the Chorban. This is what Chazal picked for us to understand, to explain what Chorban means, which means even though we have many other Chorbanim, Chorbanot, that happened throughout Am Yisrael, right, a lot of other destructions, we always go back to Chorban Bayit Rishon. We always go back to these Prakim. We always go back to Echa. We always go back to these Prakim in Navi to understand tragedy. This is the Ur text. This is the paradigm. This is what we always use. And from here, we try to extrapolate and extrapolate. So we're going to see some of the Mefarshim. We're going to do it in historical order and see, so what are their responses to this double nechama or double punishment? Or once your cask is full, right, you paid back everything and now we can talk about nechama. So let's see what the Targum Yonatan says. Targum Yonatan, the main earliest Parshan of Navi, right, Targum Yonatan, and Rashi quotes him many times, and here he is going to do that as well. But we're reading Targum Yonatan, and he wrote in Aramaic. Nivia itnabiu tanchumim alami amar elokechon. Similar enough that you can understand. Hashem is speaking to the Nivi'im. So who is Hashem speaking to, asks Targum Yonatan? When he says, nachamu, nachamu ami, he's speaking to the Nivi'im. Just like the Nivi'im said, Puranut, they brought tochacha. It's their job as well to give nechama. Those same Nevi'im, they spoke tochacha, warning Bnei Israel, now the Chorban came, now they have to give tanchumim, they have to give nechama. Now, Pasuk Bet, Mililu alibad Yerushalayim. Now he is a translation, right? He also brings a lot of other information and many midrashim, but he's also a translator. So he's saying, speak on the heart of Yerushalayim and have a nivuah. And what should be the nivuah? Arei atida detitmale me'am galuta. That all the people who went into Galus are going to come back. That is Nechama. All the people who went to Galus are going to come back. Boom. What's the other piece of Nechama? Arei ishtabiku la chova. She filled up, right, her chova, which means she paid enough in her punishment, right? And then as a result, she is going to get Nechama. And why is she getting so much Nechama? Arei kabilat kos tanchumin min kadam Hashem ki ilu lakta al chad trein b'chol chatotea. As if Yerushalayim was punished doubly, which means, according to Targum Yonatan, it can't be that the just HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you doubly if you only deserve once. So he explains, B'nai Israel, the perception was we were punished so hard, even though it was measure for measure, midah k'neged midah, B'nai Israel perceived it, that they were punished so much, and that's why they need such a big nechama. They need such a big nechama because they perceive it that it's not just, right? It was too much, and that's why Hashem gives double nechama in order to even it out. So Targum Yonatan says, of course Hashem only did midah k'neged midah, and it's just as if it seemed to us as if the punishment was so great. So how does Targum Yonatan solve that problem? It's ki'ilu, right? Kibla kiflayim. Kilakha, it's as if she was punished twice, right? So when you read Echad, it sounds horrible. Our perception was that it was so horrible, and it was horrible, but it was midah k'neged midah. It was just. But look what Rashi says. Rashi quotes Targum Yonatan. We're going to start with the second part and then go back to the first part of Rashi. Rashi explains, look on the bottom, kilakha, a number three. Kilakha, he's quoting, you see, he's quoting Targum Yonatan, but then he says, ulafi hapshat. But what does it say in the pshat of the pasuk? Kilakha miyad Hashem kiflayim. The pshat in the pasuk still says, she took double. Yerushalayim was punished doubly. So what is Rashi saying? It says, ulafi pshuto, yitachen lefaresh, it's possible to explain. Kilakha puranut kiflayim. Yes, Hashem punished Bnei Israel doubly. Which means not just measure for measure, midah k'neged midah. Hashem punished Bnei Israel doubly, beyond. Right? How could that be? Heach midato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shalem la'adam kiflayim b'cheto. How is it? Meaning, Rashi understands the difficult thing that he's saying philosophically. How can you punish doubly if they only sinned once? He says, you know what? It's a pasuk. In Yirmiyahu it says, right? Yirmiyahu, who is the Navi of the Churban, he says, "Vishilamti rishona mishne avonam v'chatatam." It does say that I can sometimes punish doubly. And sometimes Hashem could do that. Rav Moshe Feinstein was trying to explain, what does this Rashi mean? It can't be. Which means Hashem is just. It can't be that he's going to punish you doubly. Mishne avonam v'chatatam. So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that if you look in Eicha, what does it say? Chet chata'a Yerushalayim. Right? Yerushalayim sinned. But the language is Chet chata'a Yerushalayim. How could we say it? We're going to say this tomorrow night. Chata'a Yerushalayim. Why say Chet chata'a Yerushalayim? So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, because for every chet, there was also a machshava that went along with it. There was an ideology that went along with it. When they did Avodah Zarah, it wasn't just, oh, they did it by mistake, Avodah Zarah. They really believed in it. They rationalized it. They thought about it. And then they did it. Which means every Avera that Bnei Israel did had two steps. So it's true that it was only one Avera of Avodah Zarah. But in that Avera of Avodah Zarah, or Shvichut Tamim, or Gilui Arayot, or whatever it was, cheating the poor, they thought about it, and they rationalized it, and they thought, ah, oh, ideally, this is really what should be, which means they thought that that was the right way to behave. So because every action had two steps, the machshava and maaseh, that's how they got this double punishment. So it's really just because it shows that the ideology and the attitude that you have is so important and leads your actions, that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them doubly, which means that is the approach. Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, in a more brisker manner, right, explains it a little differently, but says for each action that they did, and he says this about a lot of mitzvot in general, there was a kiyum balev, and then there was a maisa mitzvah, which means there was an acceptance in the heart, which means thinking of what you're going to do, accepting and thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to do, and then a ma'aseh mitzvah. The Rav says this idea also beautifully about tshuva, which means what are some of the different steps of tshuva? One is you could do tshuva, you think about it, a kiyum balev, but you also have to do vidui. You also have to actually actualize and realize that kind of tshuva. So both these gedolim say that really it's also just, even according to Rashi, because everything had a two-step process. It had the thought process, and it also had the actions that went along with it. If you look at the beginning of Rashi, what does Rashi explain? Look now again, number three, and Aleph. Chozer al nevuotav ha'atidot. We have an issue, which means Yishayahu lived before Chorban Bayit. We have Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, who lived during the Chorban, and then we have Yecheskel, who lived during the Chorban, and also lived outside in Babel for many years. So the question is, how did Yishayahu write before Chorban about Nechama, that's going to happen later? So Rashi explains, because that was his nevuah, and it's the second part of the Sefer, because that is talking about the future. His first part is talking about the past, and about giving tochacha to Am Yisrael, telling the history of Chizkiyahu, and then in Perek Mem, it starts with the nevuot for the atid, for the future. And that's why, right, Rashi says, from Perek Mem and on, we pick all our Nivuot Nechama. So we see two approaches so far. Let's go to the third approach. Look at Radak on number four. We're going to the next page. I think, do we have the same printing, or you have it more concise?
On the bottom.
Do you have it on the bottom? See, I do the big, the big letters for myself. Okay, so number four, we're doing Radak. Rav David Kimchi, right? He was in 12th to 13th century Provence, southern France, right? He really imbibed the Svard school, the Svarad school, the people who were teaching from Spain, and Rashi and his disciples. What is Yishayah, what is Radak say? Look at number four, Pasuk Aleph. Nachamu nachamu ami, kol eila hanachamot atida limot ha-mashiach. Which means, we're not talking about double nechama here, which means don't give me any of these philosophical ideas of double nechama. No, it's just about the future. And why are we using double language? Nachamu, nachamu ami. Is it a double nechama? Is it because we got double punishment? No. He says, v'hat kefel lechazek. A Navi is speaking. And what does a Navi use when he speaks and he writes? He uses poetic license, which means ha-kefel lechazek. He's doubling the language just to emphasize the point. So it's not that it's something we can learn something philosophical from, it's ha-kefel lechazek. So again, here we see Radak's Spanish side coming out. Diktok, diktok, the language, right? It's not something philosophical here, it's just telling and emphasizing an idea. And what about ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim? How do you answer that? That it took double? So he says, kefel many times just means multiplying, a multiple of, right? So here it just means we were punished many times. It doesn't mean doubly for what we did. It might even mean two times. And what is his suggestion for the two times? Galut Bavel and Galut Roma. It just means two times. It doesn't mean anything deep philosophical, because what do we know? B'nai Israel were punished two times. Galut Aleph and Galut Beth, right? Chorban Bayit Rishon and Chorban Bayit Sheni. So Radak says there is no question here philosophically. We understand it totally. What is the language? It's just to emphasize. And there's no philosophical question here because we all know there was Chorban Bayit Rishon and Chorban Bayit Sheni. But he also quotes HaChacham Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra. He's quoting Ibn Ezra on the bottom. And he says, Perush kiflayim mitzarot shelakach kol goy. He says, but you also have to know, right, in general, who is always punished doubly for every sin that they do? The Jews. Right? The Goyim, they're always punished once for everything they do, but Hashem always punishes Bnei Israel doubly. That's a special relationship, right, we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's saying, I really think it's Galut Aleph and Galut Bet, Galut Bayit Rishon, Galut Bayit Sheni, but I have to acknowledge, right, that Ibn Ezra also says Hashem picks on the Jews in a special way, right, and we always get a double punishment. Look at number five, Mitzudat David. How does he understand this? Mitzudat David explains, Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Hashem is telling the Nevi'im, speak to the people, and it's also Yore Alach Hizuk. So he agrees with Radak, which means I'm just emphasizing Nachamu Nachamu. Give a lot of Nachamu, but it's not philosophically so meaning, but so meaningful. But what we see here is as you go down with the Parshanim, each one is adding, right? And almost like having a conversation with the earlier Parshanim. What does Mitzudat David add here? Alev Yerushalayim. He's emphasizing the emotional part. Dvarim hamekubalim al alev. He's saying, which means Hashem has to speak to Bnei Israel, to their heart. Which means when you want to give nechama, it has to be something that speaks to your heart. It has to speak to you. It has to be meaningful to you. It's not only this intellectual thing. It's not only this philosophical thing. He's the first one pegging seriously these words. It has to be something that Bnei Israel are going to accept. That's going to be something that their heart is really into. V'kiru alea. You have to call out to them that your galus is over. Kinyirtza avona, Hashem forgives you. All bets are off, which means your slate is clean. Kilakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim. You already paid everything to Hashem, which means when you're finally going to get nechama, what is the Navi trying to say? You don't owe anything, which means you were punished enough, and now your nechama is clean. It's a tabula rasa, clean slate. You're starting with a clean slate, which means Hashem is telling you, speaking to your heart, you got punished enough, don't worry. You paid back. But kiflayim, he also agrees with Radak, the idea of Galut Bavel and Galut Romulus, which means the Galut of Rome. So again, we see each Parshan is really trying to explain. So how do you understand these psukim? What does it mean for the bigger picture of a national tragedy, especially of Korban Yerushalayim? So now we're going to finish with our last Parshan for this first two psukim. Look at the Malbim, right? Meir Leibush ben Yechiel Michel Weiser, right? He's from the Ukraine in the 19th century. And one of his main contributions to Parshanut is omnisignificance, which means every word means something, which means not only in Torah, of course, but even in Navi, every single word means something very important. What did we already see with the two earlier Parshanim, Radak and Mitzudat David? It says Nachamu, Nachamu, because we want to emphasize it, but not every word means something way significant. But the Malbim says, no, Nachamu, Nachamu means something very special. What does he say? Atem ha-Nevi'im nachamu atami. Of course, you Nevi'im have to give nechama. Vaya'an shehagula tavo o kodem hazman mitzad hazchut, o im yekablu onsham, o al kol panim, gam im lo yizku, yigalenu bizman hakavua. What does that mean? That means, nachamu nachamu amid means there are two ways to get nechama. There's two ways to get geula. And nachamu means one way, and nachamu means another way. What are the two ways, he explains? One is that you merit it. Look at the word, zechut, right? We all know the phrase, ani Hashem bi'ita achishena. I Hashem in its time will bring it. What does it mean, I Hashem in its time will bring it? Is it its time, or I'm going to bring it quicker, achishena, right? What is the answer? Is Hashem going to bring the geula quicker, or is he just going to bring it in its time? So he explains, either you're going to get geula early because of zchut, which means you merit it, or because I punished you so much that your punishment pays up, and that's why I'm going to bring it early. Or, whenever I already said I was going to bring geula, I'm going to bring it. So the Malbim says these are two different views of geula. And he says, look, the psukim say it exactly. What does it mean? Look at pasuk bet. He says pasuk bet explains pasuk aleph. Kimalat tzva'a, which means tzva'a, it's your amount or your time. When the time is up, right, that is when you're going to get geula. Or nirtza avona, you do tshuva, which means if you do tshuva, it'll go earlier, right? If I punish you enough, it's going to come earlier. Or, right, it's just going to come in its right time. But he says, what does it mean, kilakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim? So he also has to explain that. What does it mean, kilakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim? So he explains that sometimes Hashem can give you a punishment that's so extreme that he can compress the punishment to make it so bad that the compressed time works for time. For example, in the end he says, what happened in Mitzrayim? How many years were we supposed to be in Mitzrayim? 400, but we were only there 210. Is it that we came out 210 just because Hashem felt like taking us out? Or the Shi'abud was so terrible, that's what Malbim says, the Shi'abud was so terrible that we were punished so terribly in 210 years, Hashem took us out. He gives the example. Let's say you get a sentence in jail, and you're supposed to be there for 10 years and get 10 lashes every day. Let's say we give you 100 lashes every day, you get out in a year. because you got 10 times the amount you're supposed to be punished, right? In our history, or in our parents' history, in my case, right? Or maybe grandparents' history in some of your cases, or relatives or people that you know about, right? Some people talk about the Holocaust, right? Some people were in hiding for 5 years or in concentration camp for 5 years. Some people were 6 months, and some people say you can't compare. Everyone, whatever that terrible experience was a terrible experience. And each one, right, the horrors that they went through, right, it's hard for us to start, you know, counting what is better or what is worse. But Hashem has his ways. Malbim says, right, Hashem is the one who decides. So that's why Nechamu, Nechamu Ami. There are different ways that Hashem can give Nechama or punishment. Okay, so this is the first two psukim. What is it trying to answer? It's trying to answer Eicha. This is what we're reading tomorrow night. So we're just going to do a few of the psukim of Eicha. So the question is, how are these psukim the beginning to answer what Eicha is bringing to us? Which means, what is the horror of Eicha, and how do these psukim and the rest of Perek Mem, how does it answer it? So look at Eicha Perek Aleph. Eicha was written by Yirmiyahu. Most of the prakim, 1, 2, 3, 4, are alphabetized. Everything goes by alphabetical order. Perek Gimel is an alphabetical acrostic that is multiplied by 3. But all the letters of the alphabet have to be brought, of the alphabet, have to be brought in order to explain this terrible tragedy. So let's just do a little of Eicha and try to get the language of Eicha and see, so how does this Nechama answer it? Or how does the rest of the Perek answer it? And is that a good way to do Nechama for this horrible tragedy that happened? Eicha Perek Aleph. Eicha yashva badat ha'ira bati am haitaka almana. The language is about loneliness, about abandonment. Eicha yashva badad, alone. No one was with her. Ha'ira bati'am, this was a city that was beautiful, powerful, right? And it was like an almana, ke'almana. Rashi explains that really this is very harsh language, because who are we married to? Hashem. So what does that mean that we're an almana? What's the only way to become an almana? If your husband dies. And who are we speaking about here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means Bnei Israel thought that the Churban means Hashem is not with us anymore. But Rashi says, Chas v'shalom, they didn't think Hashem is dead. So look at the language. Haita ke almana. Which means it's not an almana. It's not haita almana. It's ke almana. Rashi explains that it's ke almana. It's as if her husband is so far away that she has no contact with him. So she feels alone and bereft, like an aguna. She's like an almana, even though she's not an almana. Which means, what's the feeling Bnei Israel have? The first salvo, the first pasuk in Eicha tells us everything. You're alone. You're desolate. You have no friends. No one is with you. Rabati bagoyim sarati bamdinot haitalamas. We became exiles. Bachotivke balaila. We are crying, and again the double language. Bachotivke. So we're going to see that the double language of Nachamu Nachamu Ami answers the double language in Eicha. Eicha, it was so terrible, we're crying all the time. The Dimata Alichya, Rashi explains that when you cry so much, what doesn't dry? Your tears don't dry up. The Dimata Alichya, and they're crying at night when you feel alone, it's dark. You're separate from everyone. Ein la menachem. Which means, what is the phrase that is repeated over and over again in Eicha? Ein la menachem. No one to console her. No one is consoling, which means Hashem's not consoling, friends are not consoling, relatives are not consoling, children are not consoling, other nations are not consoling. You are alone. The feeling that Eicha wants to project, the Churban, was about being alone, separate from Hashem, separate from the other nations, separate from family. You are alone and destroyed. Mikol ohaveha. All the people who loved you now left you, which means that's the idea of Churban. When we read the first kina, after we read Eicha, you have to get really into Eicha to understand, to see the language. The language is chiastic structure. It has 3 bars and 3 bars with an et nachta in the middle. And each one reflects the other with the most intense idea in the middle. And each pasuk over and over again emphasizes this point. Kol re'eha bagduba, all of her friends deserted her, were disloyal, and they became enemies, which means the idea of being alone, bereft, right? You have no one to lean on, right? Look at Pasuk Tetzayin, Al Eila Nibuchia, I'm crying, Eini, Eini, Yordamayim. I can't stop crying, which means, again, the emphasis on being alone and crying. Ki rachak mimeni menachem meshiv nafshi. No one wants to bring me back my soul, my strength, right? My wind got knocked out of me. That is what happened to Yerushalayim. It is desolate. She doesn't have anybody, no friends, nobody to take care of her. When we read these prakim, we have to think about it. After we finish Echa, we have a kina. And the kina is oi, and then we end, in the end, oi mehayalanu. And really, what that kina started as was just to repeat Perek Hey exactly as it is, to insert in the middle oi, and then in the end of the pasuk to say oi mehayalanu. As years went on, more explanations were included in that kina, but originally that was it. Why? Because what was happening over the years, people were reading Echa, not caring about the words, not really internalizing it. So what they felt, we needed a mechanism. We needed a mechanism that in the middle of the pasuk, you say, oi, to look and think of this pasuk personally. If this happened to me, how would I feel? And then in the end, to say, oi mehayalanu, on a national level, what does this mean? Which means how to personalize it. If you read Echa well, it is like the biggest tragedy that you are alone. If you were undergoing a terrible tragedy or a sickness or your loved ones were really in a terrible bind or you were, this is how you would feel. Alone, alone, alone. No one cares. Hashem doesn't care. My friends don't care. No one understands me. I am all alone. And that's what Echa gives to us, that message over and over and over again, using the whole alphabet, telling us in so many different ways. And again, over, look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Persat Zion biyadeha, she's putting her hands out, calling people, will you help me, will you help me? Ein menachem la, the idea that there is no nechama. So we totally understand, what are the first two words that Chazal are going to use for the prakim of nechama? Nachamu, nachamu ami. Which means our biggest problem in Echa was we didn't have nechama. But we understood that we sinned. Look at Pasuk Yudchet. Tzadiku Hashem kifiu mariti. Which means even in Echa, when we're saying it's such a terrible tragedy, and I'm crying, and I feel terrible, we also understand, at least on this national level, when things happen to us personally, there is no Navi telling us, right, what you did. For Yerushalayim, those years, hundreds of years, they had Naviim coming to tell them what happened. We do not know why things happen to us. We take it as a nisayon, as a trial. There is no Navi telling us why this happened. But for Yerushalayim, there were Nevi'im that told them. So they understand. Tzadiku Hashem kifiu mariti. Hashem, it's tziduk adin. I accept the terrible tragedy that happened to me because I rebelled against Hashem. So they understood. But still, Hashem, you punished us so terribly. We are so alone. At least when we got punished, what did we want to feel? Maybe you were next to us. Maybe you were with us. But now we're separate from you. Look at number 8, Echa Perek Hey. We went from the first part of Echa to the end of Echa. So how does Echa end? Echa ends in Perek Hey, Pasuk Yutet, Ata Hashem le'olam teshev kisacha l'dor v'dor. Hashem, you're eternal. Lama lanetzach tishkachenu? How could you forget us for eternity? And the Rav explains something very interesting. What is one of the main themes that we have in Brit Ben Habtarim? And this is part of his 5 drashot. And what connection do we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? On a national level, right, we have a connection that can never be broken. That is part of the brit of Hashem and Avraham Avinu, right? It can never be broken. No matter any tragedy, in the end, Hashem always has to come back to us. What were we feeling at the end of Chorban here? Lama lanetzach tishkachenu? Ta'azvenu lo'orech yamin. You're going to leave us. You're leaving us forever. Lanetzach. And then we say, Ta'azvenu lo'orech yamin. You left us for a long time. Which means even when we're worried, what are we understanding or trying to grasp on? That it's not going to be forever. It might be for a long time, but it can't be forever because we have this deal with each other. And what are we asking Hashem? Pasuk Kafalef, Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. This is where that pasuk is from. Which means we're crying out to Hashem to bring us closer to him. And we're saying, if you bring us closer to you, then we're going to do tshuva. Now, this is the big dialectic that we have in Echa. And Echa Rabbati describes this. Echa Rabbati is the beautiful Medrash on Echa. We know we have many different psukim. We have Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. But we also, in Shabbat Shuva, what do we say? Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. So who's responsible for our tshuva? Us. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. We have to take the first step. Or Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. You have to come and say you're gathering us. And you are bringing us closer and then we're going to come back. Who makes the first step? So Echa Rabbati has this beautiful drasha. Because we have all these different psukim. Is it Bnei Israel that have to make the first step and to do tshuva? V'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha, right? Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha? Or is it Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, right? And we're going to see later on also the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, right, with Ephraim, right, who's begging Hashem to bring him back. Which means, so who has to make the first step? Here in Echa, we're saying, Hashem, you abandoned us. Who has to show us that first step that we're going to come close? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. And the Ramban says so beautifully, part of our tefillah when we do tshuva is what? To beg Hashem to help us get to that point that we want to do tshuva. Which means we need the help of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do tshuva. It's a gift. Because when you do something bad, what should be the response? You get a punishment. You don't get a free pass. What is tshuva? Tshuva is, you did a terrible thing, you're doing tshuva, you're crying out to Hashem, you say you won't do it again, and maybe you're asking not to be punished for it. Usually, if you do a crime, what do you get? There's crime and punishment. Which means, in Yechezkel, there's this whole discussion that tshuva is not fair, right? Which means, how come you could do bad things and then be forgiven, right? That's not just, that's like a special kind of dispensation. So we're asking in the end of Eicha, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, bring us back to you, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, like in those old days when we were together. But look at Pasuk Kaf Bet. Really, how does Eicha end? Ki im ma'os ma'astanu katzafta aleinu ad ma'od. If you really despise us, that's being so angry at us, and we can't take that. Which means we can't take it, Hashem, when you despise us and when you're angry at us. That's how we really end it. But in every haftarah, right, whenever we end with something negative, what do we always do? We say the second to last or third to last pasuk that's positive. Which means Eicha really ends, you despise us and we can't take it. And that's such a bad separation. We feel so removed from you. But when we read it on Tisha B'Av, right, we always reread Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. That's how we want to end it. We want to end it with this kind of connection, asking Hashem to connect with us, not that he should despise us, which means we can't take it that way. But we're still needing Hashem to kind of make that first step forward. So now we're going to go back to Perek Mem. Now we're going to go back to our Haftarat Nachamu. We saw the first two lines and we discussed all the big philosophical issues. But now let's see, does the rest of the Perek answer this request and the destruction in Eicha? Is it a good answer? Because Chachamim felt it is a good answer. This is how we start the Nechama. This is our first reading, right? Post Tisha B'Av, post Eicha. So let's see the rest of the Pesukim. What is the Navi telling us? What is Nechama? And look at the rest of the parak. We're on number 9. Kol Koreh Bamidbar Panu Derech Hashem Yashru Ba'arava Misila LeElokeinu. Which means first we have the Navi saying Nechamu Nechamu Ami. You were punished terribly and now the Geula has to come. And what are we saying? Kol Koreh Bamidbar, someone is screaming out in the wilderness, the Navi, of course. Panu Derech Hashem. Hashem is coming back to you. Meaning the anticipation. First, we have the anticipation that Hashem is coming back. Really? This is a parallel to Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we did 3 days to prepare for Hashem coming to greet us. Which means we need preparation for Hashem to come back to us. Which means Panu Derech Hashem. Tell everybody to get ready. You have to get ready now. And everything is flattened. Hashem is coming straight away, just like at Har Sinai, right? And what is Hashem going to do? Pasuk Hey, V'nigla Kvod Hashem. Hashem is going to appear in all His glory. What happens in the first parak of Yechezkel? What leaves the Bet HaMikdash? Kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem. Kisei HaKavod. When Shlomo is building the Bet HaMikdash, what is the word that is used that Hashem fills the Bet HaMikdash? Kvod Hashem. Milat HaMikdash. Also, this idea of the presence of Hashem. So what are we so happy? The presence of Hashem is coming back. We're getting ready for it, and the presence of Hashem is coming. V'nigla kvod, that He is going to appear to you. What did you feel? Alone, bereft, lonely, like an almana, like a widow, because Hashem is gone. So what is the Navi saying? Hashem's coming back. But you have to prepare for it. You have to have anticipation. Look at number 10. What are the next set of psukim? The next set of psukim are saying, okay, the Navi is saying, if I announce that you're coming... So he says, but everybody's dry. Kol habasar chatzir. The kol chasdo kitzitza sadeh. You knock these people out. You knock the wind out of them, as we saw, right? You destroyed them. And now you're telling me I'm going to announce that you're coming and they're all going to sing and dance? They're dead. They're emotionally dead. They have no neshama left. You knocked it out of them. And now you think just announcing that you're coming, everything's going to make it better? This is very similar to the Atzamot HaYeveshot in Yechezkel. What is the image of the Atzamot HaYeveshot, of the dry bones in the valley? They're dead. All the bones are dried. There's no way you could put them together to a life form. And yet, what does Hashem do? He blows his ruach into them, and he makes them into a life form. What do we see here? Right? He's arguing. He says, you killed these people. You destroyed them. They don't have the ruach Hashem. You used your ruach to destroy them, to punish them. Pasuk Zayin, right? That's why they're all dry, right? So what is Hashem saying? Al har gavoa alilach mevaseret Zion. Pasuk Tet. Harimi bakoach kolech mevaseret Yerushalayim. Which means, what is going to start reviving them? Just hearing that Hashem is coming back. Which means he's coming back for you. He cares about you. Don't be afraid to tell them Hashem is coming back. Because Hashem is coming back, and what is he bringing with him? Pasuk Yud. Hinei scharo ito ufulato lefanav. Just like he punished you because you did bad, now he's going to give you sachar because he punished you already. You filled that amount, mal'at zva'a, and now he's going to pay you good. Just like he paid you bad, he's going to pay you good. But look, Pasuk Yud Aleph. What is the way he's going to come back? Kiro'eh edro yir'eh. He's going to come back like a shepherd. Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're on number 10. Yishayahu Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kiro'eh edro yir'eh. Which means he's going to come back like a shepherd. Meaning, what were we afraid of? Hashem left us, abandoned us. We have no friends. We have no relatives. No one cares about us. Hashem doesn't care about it. Nuh-uh. Hashem's going to be like your shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? He cares about all the animals. He brings them in. He watches them. He makes sure nothing bad is happening to them. All the great leaders of Am Yisrael, we always call them shepherds. Right? And we call the leaders of Am Yisrael shepherds. Some of the great leaders were shepherds before they became leaders. Because you learn how to care. You learn how to be compassionate. And look at the language. Kiro'eh edro yireh. He is going to shepherd you like a shepherd watches his flock. Bizro'o yikapetz tla'im. What does the shepherd do? He picks up the little sheep with his hands. He's very personal. He closes them and holds them. Becheko yisa. He holds them next to his breast. Alotinahel. He watches the little ones who are powerless, the ones who are suckling, the ones who are nursing, which means Hashem is going to take care of you, even those who are powerless. Hashem is going to revive you by this care, which means, so far, what don't we have? We don't have big philosophical answers. We don't have big answers from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have more of this connection, connection, connection. What is the nechama? We started with the idea, yes, you know, for whatever reasons, Hashem had to do it. Nechamu, you got double. So what is the answer? Hashem is coming. He cares about you. Hashem is here for you, and our covenant is still alive. Look at number 11, right? Perek Mem, Yishayahu Perek Mem. Again, this is the Haftarah. So what is Hashem telling us? What do the Chachamim feel? This Perek is the way to answer Eicha. Pasuk Yud Bet, I divided it into the different sections of the Perek. It's not a Perek, of the Haftarah. Mimadad b'sha'alo mayim, which means now we're getting to a very interesting point. Hashem is saying, I created the world. I measured everything. I'm the one who is all-powerful. I'm the one who judges everything. Who are you? You guys are nothing. And don't tell me that you're bowing down to idols because they're nothing, which means there's no power outside of Hashem, which means what is the answer? The Navi is saying that the answer is Hashem cares about you. He's back. He is involved with you, right? But he is all-powerful, and you cannot question him. You can question him, of course, but what aren't you going to get? Because Eicha is all about the questioning. You can question and ask your questions, but what will you never know? You will not know the final answer, which means it's okay to ask and you could be angry, but when Hashem comes back, what is the main idea? That he does care about you. He is still running the world justly, just you do not know all the details. And Hashem is never going to let you know. You can ask questions. What's your part of the bargain? That you know Hashem is there, and that he comes back, and that you have a relationship with him, and that you know that you're not abandoned. But there's no philosophical answer here to explain. Hashem just says, I'm all powerful, I created the world, I have mishpat. Right? Ve'el mi tidamyun kel, pasuk yudchet. You cannot compare me to anyone. And again at pasuk kafei, ve'el mi tidamyuni va'ashve. You cannot compare me to anything. Which means the point is, you can think, and you can ask these questions, and you can be angry, but the final answer is, I am back, I care about you, it's about our relationship. And I am the powerful Hashem, and you have to have humility, and you have to trust me in this relationship. And bad things will happen, and you'll understand them in whichever way possible, but sometimes you will never get that final answer, or you'll get many answers, as we saw with the Mefarshim. And there's not that one answer, but all these answers, somewhere you'll find an answer, but the main thing is that you still are part of the circle, and you're part of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how does he end? How does this haftarah end? What is nechama to us? Pasuk Avav, Su'u marom einechem, all of you, look on high. Uru'u mi bara ele, who created everything, all the heavens, all the firmament? Hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am, Hashem makes the sun come out, he makes the moon come out, and all the other stars. L'chulam b'shem yikra, he knows how to call them all by name. Merov onim va'am yitzkoach, because God is all powerful. Ish lo ne'edar. Double entendre. We never talk about the stars and the moon as ish lo ne'edar. What does ish lo ne'edar mean? No man is missing. What are you talking about? The stars are people? But this is the correlation. Just like Hashem cares about the stars and the moon, he cares about every single ish lo ne'edar. Hashem is caring not only about Am Yisrael as a whole, but hashkacha pratit. Hashem cares about everyone. Don't think that Hashem has left, that you're an almana and Hashem is gone. Hashem is here and Hashem cares about everyone. You might not understand, but Hashem is here. And that's the answer. That's the last pasuk in Haftarat Nechama, which means Eicha, because what was the main cry we had in Eicha? We felt badad, we felt lonely that Hashem has left us. What do we ask in the end of Eicha? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'Nashuva. We don't say in the end, okay, explain to us, Hashem, how could you have done this Chorban? That's not the last question that we ask. We're just saying, you're so angry at us, we feel so abandoned, removed from you. Because it's about our relationship, our emuna, our bitachon, our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is really what drives our life, in a sense. Everyone can have a different kind of philosophical reason. Everyone can have a different philosophical shnit about Yemot HaMashiach, or about, right, what is, you know, God's corporeality, or incorporeality, about Emunah, right, in begadol of philosophical questions. But that main thing of believing in Hashem, of having that Emunah, of connecting, of realizing that Hashem is the God of Bnei Israel and of every individual, that is something that is sacrosanct that you cannot break. Because once that is broken, right, then all the answers don't help you, because they're not really substantive, because if you don't have that connection. Just like we had the idea, right, of the Chasam Sofer, right? He wrote Sefer HaEmunah V'Bitachon. So interesting, right? He gives all these different ideas and he says, but the bottom line is you just have to have that Emunah V'Bitachon. And that's really also what we see here. It doesn't say you can't ask the questions. You ask the questions. You have all the different discussions. We have the Rambam. We have so many different philosophical works. Rav Saadia Gaon. But in the end, right, it has to come from an a priori idea of this idea of closeness, emunah, bitachon, and relationship. So I just want to go now to number 12. How come in Breishit, right, there, when they talk about Yosef, right, Vayakumu kol banav v'chol banotav lenachamo, when everyone wants to give nechama to Yaakov about Yosef, Vayima'en lehit nachem. Usually, right, when someone wants to give you nechama, what do? In Tanakh, you accept the nechama, right? But here with Yosef, Yaakov does not accept the nechama. He says, I'm going to be crying about him until I die. So usually we say, you have to accept what is going on. But what do we see with Yaakov? Somewhere, what did he feel? He felt that Yosef was still alive. There was no closure, right? There still was some kind of hope, and there you don't take the nechama, because so many things were unanswered. Also here, with Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph, and we read this on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, here it says, what's going to be the nechama, right? The betulah is going to dance, the bachurim are going to be together. Again, response completely to Eicha. V'hafachti evlam l'sason v'nichamtim. I'm going to give them nechama. Right? They were upset before, and now they're going to be happy. V'simachtim miyagonam. Right? And even the Kohanim, I marked those up in the other psukim, right? And the Zkenim were bereft and thirsty, and now, right, Hashem is giving them what to drink. But look at Pasuk Yudalid, 14. Kol b'rama nishma. We know this so well. Nihi bechi tamurim, Rachel mevaka al banea, me'ana lihinachem al banea, ki enenu. Which means, so too with Rachel. What did she have? She had this belief that the geula has to come, and everybody has to be redeemed, and the people have to come back. And every so often, you just need that one person. And Rachel was that one person who never gave up. And it's so interesting because in the beginning, in Sefer Bereshit, right, Rachel is the one who only has the two children, and Leah is the one who's crying, right? And Leah is the one who's looking for the relationship with Yaakov, and Rachel is the one, right, who finally, right, wants those children so badly. And each one got what they wanted. Leah, in the end, is buried with Yaakov for eternity, right? And what do we have with Rachel? She's mevakal banea. She's the one crying. She's the one crying on her many, many children. But we see here with Rachel, she is me'ana lehi nachem al baneha. Because she was the one who was standing guard to make sure everyone will have nechama. Everyone would have ge'ula. Not to stop before the ge'ula really comes. And I think this is also important for us a little. Which means, it's true. And we have so much in Yerushalayim. And there's so much in Eretz Yisrael. Right? But we still should be vigilant to make sure that the entire Geula is really going to happen. And Yerushalayim and the sovereignty of Eretz Yisrael and all the things we want in Medinat Yisrael to really come through. And Rachel is a good example for us, which means she's me'ana lehinachem. When it's important, right, she's me'ana lehinachem al banea. She's waiting for everyone to come. And what does Hashem say? It's going to happen because everyone's going to come. Yesachar lefulatech. Everyone is going to come back. But what about Aseret HaShvatim? What about the 10 tribes, which Ephraim represents? Again, one of her children, right? And what does Ephraim say? Look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. Hashiveni v'ashuva ki ata Hashem Elokai. Which means even Ephraim, who's so removed, right? He's asking Hashem to bring him back, just like we had in the end of Eicha. Which means this need, we have to understand, right? Tshuva is self-motivated, but it's also, it's this dialectical tension. Yes, we have free will. Yes, we do it. But also we're asking Hashem to bring us back to him as a chesed, the relationship, the connection, which means we want to feel that connection in a sense to get us that connection. But we also have to make the first move. So we have that dialectical tension. Who makes that first move? We should really make it simultaneously. Similar to the idea that in one pocket we have Anochi Afar Va'efer, I'm nothing, and in the other pocket, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. So which is it? Am I nothing or am I everything? Right? But that's the dialectical tension we live with. That's the dialectical tension we live with today. That's the dialectical tension Bnei Israel always lived with. So Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. In the end, what's going to happen? Rachem Arachamenu Ne'um Hashem. Hashem is going to have Rachamim on Ephraim. And I just want to end on also this other note. With Eov, we all know Eov goes through a personal tragedy, a terrible personal tragedy. And we have a whole sefer talking about this tragedy. And he's trying to explain and discuss with his friends. So do I deserve this tragedy? I was good. I didn't lie. I didn't cheat. This terrible thing happened to me, and I didn't curse Hashem. There's no resolution in the end of the sefer. Everyone gives their opinion. And what is the resolution in the end of Eov? Look at number 14. Hashem hears the whole discussion, and then Hashem comes in a whirlwind. Vayan Hashem et Yov min ha-se'ara, from the whirlwind. And he says, Mize machshech etza b'milin, bilidat. Who's talking without knowing anything? Gird your loins, speak like a man. I have questions to ask you. Answer me. Where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I made the earth? Where were you when I made the oceans? Where were you when I made the mountains? Very similar to our haftarah in Nachamu, in Yishayahu, which means, in the end, we can ask questions. Eov, the whole book is about questions. Trying to understand. And of course, we should do that. But in the end, right, Hashem appears to Eov and he says, but you still don't know all the answers. You can't decide, right, these big issues on the things that you know because you just don't know everything. And you don't know the things from beginning to end. And you're only knowing in your moment. But you don't know 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, and to be able to look retrospectively. So after Hashem appears, what is Eov's answer? Number 15. Vayan Eov et Hashem vayomar. Eov responds to Hashem. Now remember, Hashem just says, I created the world, and you don't know anything. He doesn't give him the reasons he tried him. He doesn't give him the reasons of what happened to him. He just says, I created the world, and this is man's state in this world. So what does Eov answer? Yadati ki chol tuchal. I know that you are all powerful. Lo yibatzer mimcha mizima. Nothing is beyond you. Mize ma'ali meitza blidat? Lachen higadati velo avin. I know, you said I don't know what I'm talking about. I agree. I have to have some humility. Niflaot mimeni velo ida. I don't know everything. A lot is beyond me. Shmana va'anochi adabar. But what do I want? I just want to know that you're listening to me. Shmana ואנוכי אדבר, אשאלך והודיעני. I want to ask questions. Vahodieni. So the question is, does he want answers, or is he know he didn't get his answer yet, and he knows he's not going to get his answer, but he just wants to know that Hashem is there. L'shema ozen shmaticha, va'ata eini ra'atcha. I just wanted to hear your voice. I just wanted to see you. And once I saw you and see that God is here, God is taking care of the world. He hasn't gone away, right? God is still involved. Al ken emas v'nichamti. The same word of nechama. Alafar va'efer. What is the nechama? That he sees that Hashem is still around. Which means what we see across the board. In Eicha, what is the main theme? That Hashem is left. Or that we're alone. And we feel that Hashem is not with us. And in all the different prakim of nechama, what do we see? The idea that Hashem is here. We might not understand, but Hashem cares about us. Hashem is involved. Hashem is still taking care of the world. So we saw that on a national level, and we also saw with Eov on a personal level. In both cases, we didn't get real answers. We have the Nevi'im, right, telling, right, why different things of Chorban happened, but why did it happen that generation? Why not another generation when other things were going on? Our goal, right, is to understand this idea. When we read Eicha and we read the Pirkei Nechama, to be sensitive to this idea of Tza'ar. Right? Many times, right, we lose that sensitivity of trying to understand what does Chorban mean? What does tragedy mean for an individual? How could we be sensitive to somebody else? What we see in Eicha, what is one of the most important elements that Bnei Israel want is to feel that Hashem cares and to feel that sensitivity. And I think sometimes on Tisha B'Av, we don't realize that we have to have a sensitivity to Yerushalayim, a sensitivity to our fellow individuals, to other people, to realize their tza'ar. We know that the idea, if you're mishtatef b'tza'ar of Bnei Yisrael on a whole, you're going to see the ge'ula. What is it about mishtatef b'tza'ar? To put yourself in someone else's shoes. Because if you do that, then you care about them, and you're connected to them, and you're going to try to do whatever you can, right, to include them, to make them feel part of Am Yisrael, and not to be alone. And it's also a good message to us that when we feel that kind of aloneness, or we feel the Chorban, or we feel in politics, crazy things are going on, or we feel with Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael, or we have in our personal lives, we always know that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can connect, even though we don't feel him, we have to seek him out. And if we seek him out, he is going to come back to pull us. When I was sitting Shiva during this year of Avelut, and when I was sitting Shiva during the week, so, of course, everyone comes and says, HaMakom Yenachem Etchem B'toch Sha'ar Avelei Tzion Yerushalayim. And everyone, right, was trying to, you know, give a reason to try to explain, but no one, of course, is trying to explain, you know, the reality of what went on, but they're trying to explain, how do we give Nechama? What is this idea? So many people, it's very interesting, said this idea, HaMakom Yenachem Etchem B'toch Sha'ar Avelei Tzion Yerushalayim, that Hashem is everywhere. What is part of the Nechama? That Hashem is everywhere, which means HaMakom Yenachem Etchem, which means Hashem is everywhere, and Hashem is there also with every one of the Menachamim to give you Nechama, which means that idea is also so comforting, which means the idea that Hashem is everywhere, and you might not understand why things happen, but that Hashem is here, and there is some kind of justice, but we don't know what it is, which means the worst thing is when people try to explain you and give you reasons for why things are happening, right? So, but this idea is a beautiful idea. We don't know. But HaMakom should give you Nechama, which means the comfort in relying on Hashem, in believing in Hashem, of course asking the questions. But it's okay if we don't get the final answer, because we don't know what the final answer is. And the way to get Nechama is B'toch Sha'ar Avelei Tzion Yerushalayim. Because the biggest people who are Avelim, the most intense Avelut is an Avelut about Yerushalayim. Because when we see in Eicha how they lost everything, so bereft and alone. So if someone like that could get Nechama, right, so we too, in the tragedies that we undergo, can get Nechama, and that we should tomorrow night and on Tisha B'Av really try to identify with the Avelut of Yerushalayim and the Chorban, and that clearly is part of our outcry to Hashiveni Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva, Hashiveni Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva, that part of the Avelut is also then leading into the idea of Nechama, of reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.